Chapter 30. Deciding what data to put in the fake report had been kind of a chicken and egg problem. It was not practical for us to hang around a data relay station until the date when the lone damaged Maxalt ship supposedly stopped there on its way back from Earth. Plus, we needed to make the extra wormhole have a violent reaction on a date that matched when the accident was recorded in our fake report. Finding an extra wormhole controller and a super-duper Elder battery to power it had solved the problem of making the wormhole erupt on the date in the fake report, and the Flying Dutchman did not have to be there or even exist at that time. If our Franken ship was destroyed in the coming battle, our mission would still be successful, and Earth would be safe, although the people of our home planet would not know that. All we needed to do was upload the cover story report to a relay station on a timer to be released at a time when a damaged ship traveling back from Earth plausibly could have been there. And then, you know, actually kill two massively powerful senior species warships. We approached the chosen data relay station by jumping in 20 light minutes away to scope out the place before committing to action. Skippy made our jump signature look like a Maxalt's light cruiser, a type of ship that often traveled alone. More importantly, light cruisers were the favorite ship for clandestine missions, so it would not be surprising if we had to jump away without contacting the relay station. That would not matter anyway. Except it did. Uh-oh, Joe. We got a problem. I do not like hearing about problems, Skippy. Someday I might shoot the messenger. Not this time. There is a Maxalt's fleet auxiliary ship parked at that relay station. My guess is the station is undergoing a maintenance cycle or an upgrade. Shit, you didn't know about this?
No, Joe.
He had gotten better at using sarcasm.
Shockingly, I did not download every possible yottabyte of data about mundane details of Maxalt's operations. I had to be specific with the data request back then, dum-dum.
Do you have any idea how long that ship will be there?
Zero idea, Joe. We are 20 light minutes away, so that ship could have departed already, or it might be there for another month. One thing is for certain. If we hang around here for long without contacting the relay station, that will look suspicious.
Crap. Okay, you're right. I blushed. Reed, jump option Charlie. We jumped away, and I thumped a fist into my forehead. Why could not one freaking thing ever be simple for us?
This sucks.
Indeed it does, Joe, Skippy agreed. Time to put your thinking cap on again.
Sure, what the hell. Why not?
Show me that map of possible routes from Earth to the home base for those Maxalt ships. Not all possible routes, just the one a crippled ship might likely take.
This time I might know what you're thinking, Skippy announced happily.
Unfortunately, it won't work. The most likely routes all go through this wormhole here. He highlighted that area on the display. From that wormhole, the data relay station we just tried to contact is the only logical one for a crippled ship to contact. The other stations are too far away.
Yeah, I got that.
What if the ship did not go through that particular wormhole?
Logically, the ship would have gone through that.
Indulge me, please. Pretend that wormhole doesn't exist.
Fine.
Here. This is what the star map looks like, in an alternate universe where that wormhole doesn't exist and little Joey eats all his vegetables.
I always eat my vegetables.
Putting maple syrup on your Brussels sprouts so you can eat them doesn't count.
Maple syrup is delicious and loaded with antioxidants, according to the Maple Syrup Council, I added, arguing with him on autopilot because I was studying the revised star map.
The route you have highlighted in orange. It is the least risky path the crippled ship might fly if the other wormhole wasn't available?
Yes, he sniffed.
Could I point out the teensy-weensy detail that the other wormhole is available?
No, you may not.
Ah. This is the real world, Joe, without unicorns or Santa Claus. You are such a...
The thing you did to the other wormholes, where you made them go crazy. You're going to do the same thing to the wormhole you say the crippled ship should logically go through.
Okay. Can I ask why?
Because that ship already got burned by the wormhole near Earth acting strangely.
The crew would not risk going through another funky wormhole. They would fly around it.
Okay. That makes sense.
Damn it! Ooh, I hate you so much!
Hey, can you do it?
Yeah, I can do that.
Outstanding.
Joe, to be clear, screwing with wormholes is what got us into this mess. You are proposing that more screwing with wormholes is the answer?
Yeah? Screwing with them in the right way for the right reason is the answer. Much as I hate to say it, I agree with you. Of course, I agreed when you first suggested screwing with wormholes, and that was a freaking disaster for you monkeys, so... yeah. I was worried that my latest brilliant idea might turn out to be brilliant only in the short term, and doom for humanity in the long run. Unfortunately, as usual, there wasn't time to think long and hard about it without making the short-term problem worse. By going through the second-choice wormhole, what is the first relay station that ship would encounter? This one. A blue light began blinking on the display. To anticipate your next question, it also is an automated relay station. Nagatha, set course for that second-choice relay station, please.
Yes, dear, she responded cheerfully. Should I mention that Skippy will need to change the fake report to match the revised course the crippled ship supposedly flew?
No, you do not need to remind me, Skippy snapped. I already did that.
Really? Nagatha's voice dripped with sarcasm. I looked at the report a moment ago, and it still showed
I meant... I am doing it now, the beer can grumbled.
Of course, Skippy, dear. We believe you.
Oh, shut up! Planting the fake report was easier than downloading the flight plans from the first relay station we boarded. We already had a functional set of pixies that identified us as an authorized Maxulk's destroyer. That particular destroyer was, of course, not anywhere near that relay station, but Skippy would erase any trace of our presence. When I went aboard the relay station, my mouth was not even dry as dust like the first time, which demonstrated the confidence I had in our friendly local beer can. The whole procedure took less than an hour, and we had a bit of luck. That relay station had been upgraded 4 months before we arrived, and there was not another upgrade or even an inspection scheduled for another 7 years. That was plenty of time for the station's AI to deliver the cover story message, then erase all trace that Skippy had ever hacked into it. We got the job done quickly, and soon we jumped away to go screw with more wormholes to help sell the cover story. After that, my plan was to stop screwing around and go kill a pair of unsuspecting ships. Joe, I warned you never, ever to do something like this, Skippy protested.
Uh-huh. Hey, you might have mentioned that once or twice, a million freaking times.
Will you shut up about it, please? Will this work or not? I can confidently predict a solid shmaybe. Well, maybe sort of a soft and squishy shmaybe, if you prefer the truth.
What kind of a shmaybe that was once solid and had nice sharp edges, but is now worn away and falling apart, like a sad little bar of soap that has spent way too much time sitting on a shelf in your shower while you pleasure your...
Will you shut up about me in the shower?
I shot a nervous glance to the new people in the CIC.
What does a soft and squishy shmaybe translate to as a percentage?
It's hard to say, Joe. Duh. If I could calculate the odds of success, or more likely the odds of failure, I would have given you the number, even though it would mean nothing to your tiny math-deficient brain.
To make the plan work, I had to ask Skippy to again do the thing that had gotten us in the mess in the first place. Screw with a wormhole. This time, he only needed to screw with it a little bit, hardly noticeable. His manipulation of the wormhole could not be noticed at all by the Maxulks, or they would react and ruin the whole plan. He made a tiny tweak to the wormhole's operation so that it emerged in a very specific place and at a specific time. Stable Elder wormholes had some variability in their timing and location to avoid causing damage to the underlying spacetime, and because of changes in their connections to the local network. We could not allow any squishiness in the event horizon location or timing. We needed those ships coming through that wormhole within 120 meters of the target zone. We also needed the ships to be moving in a particular, predictable direction. Skippy met the first requirement by directing the wormhole to emerge where he wanted, and since that point was within the wormhole's normal radius of operation, the network complied without resistance. The second requirement was accomplished by moving the emergence point on the far side and realigning its event horizon on a slightly different plane in relation to the disk of the Milky Way galaxy. The Maxulk ships had to maneuver before approaching the event horizon, lining up perpendicular so they would be properly oriented when they went through. That gave them the direction we desired when they popped through the event horizon on our side, and their speed was limited to a range allowed by the wormholes themselves. So, we had the target ships in a specific location moving in a specific direction and at a speed Skippy could predict within 0.9 kilometers per second. You might think my plan was to recycle the trick we used against the Theranan Surveyor ship at the end of our second mission. Like, we plant a cloud of stealth missiles in front of the event horizon and nail the ships as they come through. Unfortunately, that trick would not work against the Maxalt ships, because the first ship through the wormhole would alert the other ship about the attack, and at best we would destroy only one ship. Also, unfortunately, we could not do that. We weren't capable of repeating that feat. Although we left the Roach Motel with plenty of missiles scrounged from the junkyard there, many of those missiles needed work to make them ready for combat, and that required Skippy's bots to take parts off some missiles to make a smaller number flight-worthy. To make the mini-missiles that carried the micro-wormholes down to the Pixie factory, he had to use parts from the good missiles. Anyway, the bottom line is we did not have enough powerful ship-killer missiles aboard to cause serious damage to a Maxalt's warship, and certainly not to deal with two of those ships. Even if every missile we took from the junkyard was intact and flight-worthy, our opponents were supremely powerful senior species warships that could deflect the barrage, and the Maxalts would have a good chance to detect our missiles before they could strike. Like any other ship, the Maxalt's craft suffered from being temporarily blind after transiting an Elder Wormhole, a fact that we were counting on. However, because the Maxalt's had incredible technology that even Skippy grudgingly described as not insultingly crappy, their sensors reset much faster than most ships. Faster even than our own sensors, because the magic of Skippy could not work miracles with our primitive Theranan sensor gear. The efficiency of Maxalt's sensors meant we could not count on relatively slow missiles to reach their prey before the enemy detected them and their proximity defenses blew them out of the sky. I had argued with Skippy about that point, until he reminded me of the glaringly obvious fact that Maxalt's standard procedure would not allow the second ship to come through the wormhole until the first ship's sensors and shields were fully active. Damn it. Having to be certain of killing both ships made our task enormously more complicated. Another idea we discarded, this time before Skippy had a chance to mock us, was to jump a pair of dropships on top of the targets, the same way we eliminated the single Maxalt ship in the Roach Motel. We simply did not have enough jump coils to spare after our stunt at the Pixie factory. If we stripped coils out of the Dutchman to outfit a single sacrificial dropship, our starship would not be able to jump again. The trick of making a non-starship, like an expendable dropship, jump took a lot of jump coils, a lot more than I expected. Skippy explained the problem was something like a minimum number of coils were required to create the feedback resonance loop that tore a hole in space-time. My eyes glazed over at that point, and I don't remember much of what he said. He did say we could use fewer coils if the dropship being jumped had a real drive control computer, which was another thing not possible with the sparse equipment aboard the Flying Dutchman. Because we were desperate, I considered stripping all the jump coils out of the Flying Dutchman to put them into suicide dropships. That would leave our weary old star carrier drifting dead in interstellar space forever, but it would accomplish our mission of killing the two target ships. Unfortunately, Skippy had shot down that idea because it wouldn't work. The Maxalt ship we killed in the Roach Motel had its jump drive shut down because that crew had known any attempt to jump before they reached the boundary would cause the Guardians to attack. The two target ships we now wanted to destroy would have their jump drives active and warmed up for an immediate jump away in case of trouble, and that squashed any hope we could repeat the trick that had worked so well in the Roach Motel. Skippy explained that active jump drive coils create a subtle, local distortion bubble in space-time, even when they were not powered up enough to create a jump wormhole. That distortion bubble made it impossible for Skippy to drop a ship into the same space-time occupied by the target ship, because the jump's far endpoint would slide off the bubble. Crap. That had been my best idea. Until I realized that the active jump drives of the two target ships represented not just a problem. They were an opportunity. If your brain has blown a fuse trying to understand all the ways we could not destroy those two ships, welcome to the club. Our club meets the second Tuesday of the month in the basement of St. Rose's Church, which is kind of a pain because we have to move all the bingo equipment and they don't let us drink. We're thinking of meeting instead at... Okay, enough of that. Time to be serious. Forget the math, Skippy. Are you ready to do your thing? I was born ready, Joe. My concern is that we will only have one shot at this. If anything goes wrong and this cockamamie scheme fails, the Maxalts will never allow themselves to be vulnerable in this fashion again. Plus, they will send a full battle group to smash your home planet so your sun has a second asteroid belt. Thank you so much for the vivid image, Skippy. That helped tremendously. I suspect you are being sarcastic, Joe. No matter.
If you are determined to go through with this ill-advised wacky stunt, everything is in place and I am as ready as I can be, considering nothing like this has ever been attempted before. Hey, if this does fail, at least you will have the comfort of surprising the hell out of the haughty Maxulks before, you know, they turn their wrath on this ship and vaporize it. This is not helping at... He interrupted me. 3, 2, 1, wormhole is opening. And precisely when and where and with the exact alignment I specified. Please hold the applause. You may marvel at my extreme awesomeness later. Right now, I have work to do. The work Skippy needed to do right then was simply to wait. You know the expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink? In this case, we could open the wormhole, but we could not control when the target ships went through. We knew the target ships would come through that wormhole because that was listed on their flight plan, but we did not know exactly when they would be coming through. Because the wormhole's event horizon hopped around and only stayed open in a particular location for less than half an hour, the target ships might be coming through where we were, or they might be coming through later at another emergence point of the wormhole. That made our preparations for attack enormously more complicated, because we had to get everything set up and wait for the ships to arrive. Then, if the wormhole closed at that location, we had to immediately jump to the next emergence point and set up for the attack all over again. There was a delay when wormholes switched to another emergence point, and Skippy planned to stretch out that delay to its limit. But still, we were pushing the ship's jump capability to hop between emergence points so quickly. Skippy warned that after 7 emergence points, the Dutchman would need to take its jump drive down for realignment, and during that process we would miss 3 emergence points. In case the target ships came through any of those 3 points while the Flying Dutchman was not flying, we had dropped off recorder drones at all 3. Our plan was to quickly pop in to see if those drones had detected the enemy coming through. Another problem was that as the wormhole hopped around in its eternal figure-8 pattern, some of the emergence points were too far apart for the Dutchman to cross the distance before the event horizon opened at that location. We would encounter that problem at the 14th emergence point, so as a practical matter, we only had 10 chances to intercept and attack the target ships. After those 10 opportunities, we had to bail on that wormhole and try again at the next wormhole along the enemy's flight path. The good news was that Skippy could screw with the closest wormhole so we could go straight to the next wormhole and wait well ahead of the enemy ships, who would have to slowly jump all the way between wormholes. Yes, the solution to aliens discovering that something was screwy with Elder wormholes was for us to screw with Elder wormholes. It's kind of ironic, I know. Another complication, which is great because I love complications, was that the 3rd potential wormhole where we might intercept the target ships was part of a very active wormhole cluster near a major Theranan military base, so we had to skip that opportunity. After that, there were only 2 more wormholes before the Maxulks began their long, lonely trip to Earth. Their flight plan was vague after the ships went through that last wormhole, so we had to hit them before they went through it. When we got the flight plan data well before those ships even left their home base, I'd been thrilled that we had so much time to prepare. Then, because work expands to fill the time available, we had to take the ship offline for maintenance and visit an Elder site and get into a fight with an insane Elder AI and make wormholes act crazy to sell our cover story and then upload our cover story to a relay station. Then we prepared our battle space and waited. Waiting was the worst part. Waiting gives your mind time to go into dark places and think bad thoughts. Hey, Skippy, this is... I laughed nervously. Kind of a... funny question for you. When you put together that cover story report, you, didn't include any Easter eggs in it, did you? No. Why? No reason, just although it would have been good for you to mention that before I uploaded the fake report, you dum-dum. Yeah, I am a dum-dum. We can all agree on that. No Easter eggs, huh? That's good. True. Well... unless you count the Maxulks putting on brony costumes and sneaking into a My Little Pony convention while they were at Earth, I couldn't resist that one. What? Joking, Joe, I was joking. Damn, you are gullible. Now, shut up and wait while I scan for the enemy ships. We waited more, and waited, and waited, and the wormhole closed on its own with absolutely nothing happening. We all breathed a sigh of disappointment and relief. The relief part was because the ship was still in one piece and we were still alive.
Then Skippy quickly packed up his toys and we jumped to the next emergence point to do it all over again. We did it again 4 more times. Then at the 5th emergence point, Skippy sounded an alarm. "Ship coming through," he announced, even before sensors detected anything on our end. Skippy could tell by fluctuations in the event horizon that a ship was approaching the wormhole. "Stay frosty, everyone," I said a bit too loudly, proving that I was anything but frosty. "Great way to lead by example, Bishop," I told myself. "Contact!" Skippy was also getting excited. Oh, crap, it's just a Theranan cruiser. Shit! Damn it, I feel like killing that ship just for disappointing me. "Leave it alone, Skippy," I warned, not knowing whether he was serious. "Yeah, yeah, the last thing I'm doing at this point is to endanger the mission. Stupid little green pinheads." The Theranan cruiser came through, sent an all-clear signal back, and 2 heavily laden star carriers followed. Seeing those star carriers reminded me how long, spindly, and massive the Flying Dutchman had been way back when we captured it, and before we broke it several times. I felt an unexpected pang of guilt at having ruined the careful work of Theranan ship designers and builders. If they could see what I had done with their once proud star carrier, they would weep. Then they would, you know, kill me and wipe out humanity, so I didn't feel a whole lot of guilt for those little green MFers. It was weird watching 2 Theranan battle groups hanging in space right under our noses. At any other time, I would have been paralyzed with fear at facing such a powerful armada. Right then, what I felt was not fear, but disgust. I wanted those battle groups to get moving and get the hell out of there so we could do our job. We could not attack the Maxalts with the Theranan present as witnesses, and my greatest fear was that those Theranan had decided to boost their chances of winning a Client Species of the Year award by providing an escort for the Maxalts. That would seriously fuck things up for us, enough that as those star carriers drifted in space doing absolutely nothing, I changed my mind about wanting them to go away, and instead, I just wanted them to die. 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 Hey, my superhero alter ego is no patience man, so it is understandable that waiting was not a core strength for me. Anyway, the Theranans sat around with their thumbs up their asses doing nothing until the wormhole closed. And then they did nothing for another 20 fucking minutes until they finally jumped away. By that point, we had missed our opportunity to jump to the next emergence point, and I was seething with enough raw toxic hatred for the entire Theranan species that a single look from me could have wiped them from existence. Even Skippy, clueless as he is, sensed my foul mood, and he answered quietly without extraneous chit-chat. "Skippy, what are our options?"
"Joe, we cannot jump to the next emergence point because the wormhole is already open there, and the Maxalts could have come through already. We might jump in right on top of them and blow the whole operation."
"Yeah? And if they did come through there, we will never know it." I slammed a fist down on the armrest of the command chair. Again, I was not setting a good example, and I got some embarrassed glances from the CIC. Sims shot me a look, and I took the hint.
"All right. No problem. Nothing we can do about that?"
"We stick to the plan," I announced, trying to sound calm and confident. "Skip to the next emergence point? We can get there early. That is good news. Skippy, taking one jump off our schedule changes when we need to take the jump drive down for realignment?"
"Not really, Joe. The 3 emergence points we plan to skip during realignment are some of the least likely for the target ships to come through because the event horizons on the other end are not located along the flight path of those ships. They would more likely wait for a more convenient emergence point. We know those ships are not in a great hurry to get to Earth."
"All right, fine. No problem," I babbled. "Stick to the plan. Skippy, you have all your toys packed away?"
"Affirmative."
"Outstanding. Pilots, Nagatha, jump when ready." There was no joy at the next 2 emergence points. Then we took the ship offline for adjustments to the jump drive coils. We got to the 11th emergence point early and waited fruitlessly. Same with the following 2. Then the wormhole's pattern had emergence points too far apart for the Dutchman to follow. I ordered the ship to jump to check on the 3 drones, which also had detected nothing, and then Skippy used a gap in the wormhole's pattern to connect us to the next wormhole along the flight path of the target ships. We got there, we set up for the attack, and we waited. Again.